overflowing with love. I am overflowing with happiness. I am filled with the power to make a change. You create a brand new life. I am.
Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday Celebration Service for the Center of Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week.
Thank you. Well, good morning and welcome, everybody. I'm so happy to see all these smiling, familiar faces. And when Jody mentioned that this is home for me, in a lot of ways it is. I started coming here about 15 years ago, and coming back pretty often since there. A lot early on, and then less so recently, but I love coming here, and I love this community, and I love David Leonard, and this is my time to just say a few words about David Leonard. David has been a mentor, a beloved friend, and a teacher to me, as well as many people in this room, and that weren't for David Leonard, this little center as you know it today wouldn't be here. So we're very grateful for David and the commitment and the service that he has brought to this community over the years. And today would have been his father's 100th birthday. So I think it's important that we acknowledge David's father and acknowledge David and send him some love while he's away and getting a little rest and relaxation. David asked me to talk about impermanence today. And impermanence seems like a very important topic, whether we use that word in society on a day-to-day basis or not. It's certainly in everyone's lives and on everyone's mind. What exactly is impermanence? Well, it's anything that's not permanent, not fixed, not continuous, which is everything. Everything in life. And the fascinating thing about it is, in the Buddhist tradition, their primary philosophies are the Four Noble Truths and impermanence. And they focus very early on training their students to be aware of impermanence and to practice the knowing of this impermanence, not to fear death, not to fear change, because that is all there is. There is only change. And right now, it seems like it is a very auspicious time in this world. People who've had long-term jobs, their jobs go away, or they decide to leave them and do something else. People lose family members unexpectedly. There are landslides, earthquakes, tsunamis, floods, to name a few. And so we're getting an upfront seat of what impermanence looks like. But the beauty of that is that when we know that impermanence is natural and it's just here to teach us about change, the wonderful thing about impermanence is it lets you know that anything is possible at any given moment. Because no matter what it is, no matter how wonderful it is, no matter how terrible it is, it's going to change. And I like that idea. Most of us don't like the idea of something wonderful going away, but everything has its time. And so the more we embrace the impermanence of life, the more we are able to give ourselves permission to be present to the moment, to fully enjoy the positive moments we have, to even embrace the moments that are challenging or difficult. And the more we can move into that space of being in the moment, the more we can enjoy the idea of permanence, even to enjoy the idea of impermanence within ourselves. There are a lot of people that sit in this room today that have had health challenges and have stood right outside that door that door of impermanence, which takes us out of here into the world of permanence. Spent some time there myself. And the wonderful thing I know about impermanence is just like any dynamic lesson or teacher that presents itself to you, what I know is that it's a catalyst to change your life if you allow it to. It's there for all good purpose if you can allow it to be so. Even through the challenging, painful things, if you can embrace it, you'll begin to find the beauty and the depth and the lesson of why you went through that experience. And so I love that idea. But I also love that in this time of dynamic change, that we're seeing some incredibly beautiful things happen. If you had anything to do with listening to the wedding ceremony of Harry and Meghan a few weeks ago, how could you not be excited that there was an African-American Episcopal reverend that gave that blessing and that sermon? I loved that, and I loved the music, Stand By Me. You know, that's a whole new face on the royalty of England. And those two are going to shake things up a bit. And I like that. But I also like that there are so many hallmarks of things of this time that are just these beautiful threads running through things if we begin to look at them and experience them. And when I begin to read about impermanence, and certainly the Buddhists have more to say about impermanence than almost anybody else, and George Harrison, back in the day when he began to follow Eastern religions, was studying Buddhism. And at the end of the Beatles, which was 1970, he produced his first solo work, which was a 3-album set called All Things Pass Away. He already had that name in mind 3 years before that he'd been working on that body of work, and just so happened to introduce it the same week that the Beatles decided to dissolve. But that gets even more profound. So I follow a thread. I start looking at things, and George Harrison had come up in a Buddhist article, and so I followed this about all things pass away. And then on the bottom, it talks about, well, and he re-recorded this body of work, you know, since all the new digital sound equipment was available and there was so much more that could be done with the work. Well, he re-recorded his work. You want to guess when that work was reintroduced to the world? The day he died. All things pass away. So there are beautiful synchronicities and stories and lessons all around us that let us know that this intelligent world that we live in has a much bigger view and has more immaculate and stunning details than we ever give it credit for. This community has gone through an experience lately. Reverend David had a heart attack. And for those of you who know about the heart and the symbolism of the heart, it's no surprise to me, because David, more than probably anybody I know, has been true to following his heart and speaking in his heart and constantly working on opening his heart. So the fact that he would go through an experience that would help him literally open his heart is no surprise. But what I also know is that when someone steps into the seat of power of being the leader of a spiritual organization, look out, because you're all going through it too in your own ways. Maybe more subtle, may not be a physical experience, but I can guarantee you an emotional experience of the heart is happening for you. That's just the way things work. Greg Braden, who's a wonderful scientist and a very spiritual man, he studied with the scientist of heart math, and he likes to describe the heart as being a 6-layer oscillating fluid organism that is the most powerful thing on the planet that we haven't begun to tap into. They've been studying the work of monks, Buddhist monks, and the prayers of Buddhist monks. And they began, now that they have equipment to measure the power of energy and how far it can be tracked. Early on, when they first started, you know, putting monitors on these monks and having them go into a room and sit and pray or meditate, they were getting a reading from 50 feet away. But wait, now they're doing testing where they're putting these people on other sides of the world. And they're communicating. Those prayers are being felt. Those prayers are being registered. So whatever fashion of prayer and meditation you experience, trust me, it works. Even if you don't feel it, it's happening. And that energy is working. It's coming to you, and it's focusing on you, and it's going out from you. So never doubt the cause that you're having on humanity as well as yourself when you're in that mindful state of prayer. And what I'd like to do today, because I know people are going through change. I know they're going through trials and tribulations. I also know they're also experiencing amazing joy that they've never allowed themselves to experience before. But what I'd like to do today is give you a few quick tips that I have learned over time from one of my teachers that really help us to stay in a state of peace, to be in a state of grace, and to allow the changes that are occurring to us and through us and all around us for us to have an impact on that. It's simple, not necessarily easy, because it requires for you to have discipline, or as one of my teachers likes to say to me, be a disciple unto yourself. And I said, what does that mean? This was years ago. And he said, you'll figure it out. Well, what it ended up being was that I realized in being a disciple to myself was going to be a constant journey of going within and finding out who I was and having some discipline about being faithful to the tools and the practices I know that work for me. Not everything works for everybody because we are different, but be willing to try. Because you'll find what works for you. You may not hear it from a teacher. You may have a spontaneous experience that you learn from. Or you could, I have even ridden down the interstate and read, you know, signs on the side of the road that triggered something within me that set me on a search quest of something new. But what's important for you to know is that if you have a question, there's a solution and there's an answer that's already on its way before you ask it. But as long as you can stay in inquiry, as long as you can ask, that's like the courting ritual of the universe. It absolutely cannot resist you asking a question because it delights in showing you answers in so many ways you never even imagined. And I want you to have that kind of experience in your life. But I'm going to give you a few tips, and these actually came from Joe Dispenza, who is one of my teachers and a brilliant scientist. I'm all about the science of things these days. I'll be all about something else next week, but right now I'm all about the science of how this works and how it affects the body. But there are basically five steps to conscious change. Change is going to happen. And what we want is you to be in that divine flow, that when that change happens, it's as easy and graceful as it can be for you. And these tips will help. The first tip is to disconnect from your world. Start out with once a day. Start out with 2 minutes if that's all you can do. We'd love it if you could meditate 24 minutes a day or pray for 24 minutes a day. But basically what we tell you to do to begin with is that you just disconnect from the world. Turn off the television. Turn off the computer. Turn off your phone. Go someplace quiet and just be. Just be. Just be still. That's the first thing. And then you add to that breathing to center yourself. When we consciously breathe, And this is nothing new. We've all heard this a lot. But when we consciously breathe, take control of the breath, slow it down, calm ourselves, and begin to focus on being centered, that empowers us. Because the most powerful moment in the world is the present moment, the moment you are present to, because that's when you can activate change. And what we also know is that when we do this, when we sit down and we breathe and we begin to focus, first thing that's going to happen is the mind is going to run away to the predictable future or the familiar past. So just be prepared for it. Let that be okay and go, oh yeah, yeah, I knew this was coming, and just let it go past. But the important thing is that you learn the process of settling yourself down. And basically, that's what you're doing. And once you do this, you create these great pathways so that if you're in a meeting or you're in traffic, you can just stop and take a deep breath, and the body will go, oh, she wants me to settle down, wants me to calm my mind down. And it begins to affect other parts of your day. The third thing I would say is, can you define a vision for your future of who you want to be, this person you want to be in this world? And can you do that by letting go of those memories of the past of who you think you are? And you do that, you begin that process by asking, who do I want to be? How do I want to be defined in this world? And you have to listen, because the mind will start telling you all kinds of things. And it's not always pleasant, but listen to it. Humor that part of the mind that isn't the most positive part of who you are. Because once that gets out of the way, you're going to get to the good stuff where it's going to say, I want to go to Argentina. I've always wanted to paint for a living. Gee, I really want to write. I love to read other authors, and I have these great ideas I want to write. And so then you begin to get to, maybe it's just that you do what you do, whatever that service is in the world. You know, ministry doesn't look like somebody just in the front of a church or a center. As a minister, I run a multidimensional arts facility, a cultural center, in a small town that's 60 miles from Atlanta. My work now is no different than when I worked for a church. I employ the same skills. I do the same things. I just don't get up and couch things in a spiritual vernacular. But every day I work on being a better person, and whatever that means that day. So you can take these tools into whatever you're doing. But anyway, take the time to ask the question of, How do I want to define my vision of who I am in the future? And that's the beginning of change, because you're changing your mind. That's how you begin to change your mind. And when we ask these kinds of questions, all kinds of new neurons start to come to life, and they connect with other neurons, and they create new patterns, and they start creating a whole new you. And the second part of that question is, once you get that idea, that vision, and you're clear about what you want to experience, then you want to ask yourself, what would it feel like to have that experience? What would it feel like to be that person? And let yourself go into that place, because once you open that door to dialogue, you're going to get everything you need. You're going to start feeling like, well, you'd be excited, or you'd be happy, or your heart might even flutter a bit if you did this thing. Or you might see something that just inspires you to the point that you don't even have an idea of what it's going to feel like. And there's that brief moment of just absolute awe. But go with that and be with that and let yourself feel that. Practice what it feels like to have what's come up in your mind at that moment about that. But the real difficult part is, once you get it, once you feel that excitement, once you feel that that pride, once you feel that abundance of what's happened to you in a situation, once you've got that feeling down, do not get up until you know you can recreate it. So just tell the body, sit, stay, we're going to do this. And it'll appreciate it later, and so will you. The fourth point is basically to rehearse who you're going to be with these new skills, these new talents, these new abilities, this new practice that you're doing. Think of the things you have to do, the choices you will have to make, and the steps that you'll have to take to bring them about. If you've ever taken a class on character development, which if you haven't, it's a great thing to do, because then you get all this back dialogue and back experience going about why is this character, and how did they get from here to there? Well, essentially what you're doing is you're doing character development for yourself, and you're doing it in your mind, which means the mind is responding, and the mind is going to change, and the next thing you know, you're going to change. And then the last thing is that you have to let go of your past. Any of you tried to do that before? Ever tried to forget any of these experiences that have been mind-altering, life-altering experiences? It's much easier said than done. But the thing about this is, you can't go to that future, being that new being that you want to be, without letting go of some of this baggage that you brought in with you. Holding on to this because it's become your biology. It's not just a memory in your mind. And you can't take that old biology into this new world in your new body. So decide what thoughts you want to bring with you to the future. I can't tell you how this will change your life. I just know it will. Because when I take the time and the energy and the effort to do this, it does it for me. And I would not be special unless everybody were special. And we're all special, and we deserve to create this whole palette of supernatural beings. We just have no idea what is available to us and what we can do unless we start playing with it and get comfortable with that idea. But at that point, you're going to talk about what you're going to take with you to the future. And you're going to listen to the dialogue that begins to happen when you have this thought process. And usually it goes something like this. I can't. I'll never change. It's too hard. This is never going to work. I'll just wait and start this to tomorrow. But go ahead and decide which behaviors that you want to take with you, which actions you're going to take. And let those subconscious patterns that you have, that you're not even aware of them, let them on bubble on up. Ask yourself, you know, it's not only how you think, it's how you talk. Do you complain? Do you blame? Do you make excuses? Do you feel sorry for yourself? None of us ever do any of those things. But actually, we all do them. But the more we tell our brain, okay, thank you very much, and move on to something else, and feed it something else, you begin to create a new experience. Because if you change your thoughts, if you change your actions, what you're doing is you're changing your behavior. And when you change your behavior, it's not so much the importance of changing the behavior, but it's changing the consciousness underneath that behavior. When we change that, then we change, then our whole life has the potential of changing. And when you get it to that degree that you're consciously doing this action where you're thinking about, who do I want to be? What steps do I take? What does that feel like? The more we do that, the really dynamic thing that's going to happen is that you will do it, and one day you will never go unconscious again. One day you'll wake up and you will be that different person. And then it'll be something else you want to change and something else you want to do. But that's what life is. Life is a practice. Lastly, what emotions don't belong in that future? You know, do you have bouts where you get frustrated or angry? Do you get fearful or doubtful? You know, those are things that come up that you want to change how you function in the world around those things too. You know, and that takes a little settling down of the self, you know. Sometimes we have to say, it's unreasonable you're being fearful about this. We don't know where it's coming from. But I'm here and it's okay. You know, we have to learn to comfort ourselves and support ourselves. But those, when we work with that and we identify those things and we choose not to take them with us into the future, when you go to the future, you won't have them. When you actually become that new being or have that new experience. Because when we change how we think, when we act, how we talk, we've changed our personality. Those three components are what make our personality. And when we change our personality, we're a whole new being. It's not to say don't love who you are and what you've been, but if there are aspects of your personality that are keeping you from becoming this being that you want to be, then some things have to change. But the really wonderful things that set you apart, that make you unique, that make you creative and wonderful, those stay with you. They're part of this whole evolution of becoming what you want to become and of experiencing the life you want to have. But the best thing of all is when you realize that this is working and you're having these experiences in your life, begin to allow yourself to see how a person at cause is affecting the world. Step back from yourself and look at you in the world and see what you're doing and the effect it's having. Because once you realize that you're in cause, that you're at cause for your experience of life and what that experience has on other people, you absolutely will never go back. Food for thought. Good questions. And it all comes from change, which is natural. Impermanence. Impermanence is going to happen. It's happening in your life. It'll continue to happen. But you can work with it. You can be in that divine flow. And you can live a life of ease and joy. Not saying you won't have bumps in the road and sometimes potholes that look like the Grand Canyon, because that'll happen too. Because we get these all. This infinite loving source that creates us wants us to have ultimately what we want, and it gives us every opportunity and all the support we will allow it to help us do that. So, hope that helps. Hope those are tips that you can use. I'll go over them right quick. Disconnect yourself from your world. Breathe and get centered. Ask yourself if you have a vision of yourself for the future. Can you let go of your vision of yourself in the past? Can you rehearse it? Can you figure out what it feels like? And then can you let go of all the things that you'd rather not have in your life? So, simple, not easy, but can be a whole lot of fun and can make dramatic change in your life. Now, what I know is that this is the truth in my life and this is the truth in yours. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information, please visit www.cslhuntsville.org.